hope that you and your crew have been memorizing some of those verses together. It is possible. You can do it. Let me encourage you to hide God's word in your heart, and that's just a really good way to do it. You know, Maggie left off verses 8, 9, 10, 11 saying that you have kept count of my tossings. You put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? And so as we get geared up for God's got this, the first thing I want you to realize is this, is that God's got your heart. In fact, if you're taking notes, I hope you are, go ahead and write it there in the blank. God's got my heart. What has God got? He's got my heart. All right, I'm going to ask you guys, what has God got?
He's got my heart.
All right, he's got your heart, or at least he should have your heart. Where are we getting that from? Well, let's go back to those verses when the poet here tells us in Psalm chapter 56 that you have kept count of my tossings. What is he talking about? Well, he's talking about this, is that David, he's being chased by the enemy. God has put a calling on his life, and he's trying to fulfill that calling, and yet King Saul does not want to see that happen, so he is chasing David across the countryside, trying to take his life. And it can be easy in that situation for us to feel like we are alone. I don't know about you, but have you ever been in a situation where you are going through it? You're scared, you're lonely, you're worried, you're anxious, and you feel like no one gets it, like you are by yourself. Like, I feel all alone. I feel like I'm by myself and no one gets how I feel. Well, let me tell you that you are wrong. You're not by yourself, believer. Why? Because God has kept count of your tossings. What is he talking about? He's talking about your tossing and turning. You are tossing and turning at night, not able to go to sleep. And what he is saying is right here is this, is that God is keeping number of the amount of times that you and I toss and turn at night. One, two, three, four. Wait, is that a half? Four and a half. Didn't go all the way over. Your spouse, maybe they're keeping count of your snoring, right? You got a book? Anybody out there, put it in the chat. Put it in the chat. You ever videoed or audio recorded your spouse snoring to prove to them that they actually do snore? I would never do that to my spouse. But the people who would you put that in the chat? Go ahead, get that confession out there. I did it, Pastor. I did that. God is keeping count of your tossings. He knows how many times you toss and turn at night because you cannot get to sleep. You are not alone in this. God understands what you are going through. Next, he says this, you put my tears in your bottle. What is he talking about? Well, actually, archaeologists have actually found these tear bottles. That is things that people in the old days used to carry on their way to a funeral. And believe it or not, they would actually capture their tears and put them in this little leather bag, and they would actually toss it in the grave near the end of the funeral. And so what the poet here is telling us is that God knows how many tears you have cried. And you might think, well, man, that's pretty hard, because sometimes I'm just a slobbering mess, you know? Like, it's not just one drop here and one drop there. It's like, Lord, I'm going through it. It's rough out there. And I know guys like DJ, he's never cried a drop in his life. Am I right? All
right.
But if he did, God's got a tracker and he's keeping count, because he loves his children. He's keeping watch over you. He knows what's going on in your heart. He knows what emotions you're going through. He says, Lord, you've kept count of my tossing and my turning at night. You put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? God is keeping records. He's got a journal that he's writing down the emotions of your heart, because he loves you, cares about you. He's not just a God that is far off and untouchable and unable to get to or unable to have a relationship with. Instead, he is a God who is also close and personal and wants to love and know his children in an intimate way. And I want to tell you this morning, as your pastor, you are not alone. when you are going through something, fear, worry, anxiety, anger, whatever your emotion is, God is there with you. He knows that it is happening. And so don't ever feel like you are having to go through it alone. I can imagine that David, as he was going through this time and he's running through the countryside, hiding in caves, trying to get away from the enemy, wondering why God would let this happen, tossing and turning at night, crying probably. Why, God? And then he reminds himself that God knows what's happening, that he's not alone. Jesus actually tells us in the New Testament, in the book of Luke, chapter 6, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? I mean, come on. And not one of them is forgotten before God. Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows. And so we see in the Old Testament, God loves you, cares for you, knows what's going on in your heart. We see in the New Testament, God comes in the flesh to have relationship with you. And he says that he is keeping track of everything that's happening in the universe that he has created. Not a bird falls out of the sky without God knowing about it. And let me tell you this, you were created in the image of God. No other creature was created in the image of God except for mankind. And if he's keeping track of sparrows that might fall out of the sky, what do you think he's thinking about you? He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows how many hairs are falling out of your head, right? He's like, oops, subtract, subtract, subtract. The older I get, less and less hairs there. Less hairs on my head, but he's adding numbers to the hairs on my back. That's gross, Pastor. Why are you saying that? I'm just keeping it real here at Belmont, all right? So, by the way, shout out to the Ward family who is driving in from Ohio and watching on a phone right now. So great to have you guys with us. Let me also tell you this. We've got a God who's been through it, right? So God's got my heart, and we know that he sympathizes with us. Why? Well, Hebrews chapter 4 says this, since then we have a great high priest, that is Jesus, a great high priest who has come and who has also been not just the high priest, but also the sacrifice, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. Don't forget your confession in the Lord, because you've got a great high priest who understands you and gets you. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Man, we have a God who not only is watching and knowing what is happening, but we have a God who has been through it himself, and he is able to sympathize with what you are going through. You know that Jesus wept? Jesus cried. Jesus felt pain and agony as he watched his friend who had been buried, put behind a rock, Lazarus. Jesus stopped and wept, even knowing that he momentarily would be raising Lazarus from the dead. He still felt those very real emotions that you and I felt. And so Matthew 11 says this, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. Jesus knows your heart, what's going on in there. Early on in the days of Belmont, back in 2016, Belmont and another church merged together to form this great new revitalized thing that God is doing, and we have been so blessed by that. And our team got away back in 2015, and we prayed and we said, God, are you sure you want us to do this? Because this isn't normal. And God was really clear within us and led us to merge together two different churches to become one new family in Christ. And that was a huge blessing. But I tell you, early on in those days after that, I had given it to God because I knew God's got this. He wants us to do this. But for some reason, some part of me said, all right, God's got this. He wants us to do this. Let's do it. But then after there was some kind of a switch where I was like, all right, we did what God wanted us to do. Now it's up to me. Now, I'll take the load. You take a break. And I started just working, trying to make things happen, staying up late at night, too late, working on things behind the scenes. And it really began to affect me, even though I was lying to myself. And it's like, I've got this. I'm totally fine. And then I started to develop a twitch in my eye. And I started to, like, have some, like, heart issues at night where I would wake up in the middle of the night and feel like, dude, I feel like I'm having a heart attack or something. And eventually God got my attention and said, hey, man, you need to let go of this. I've got this in that I've called you to this, but I've also got the details. And so I remember the exact time and day where I was alone by myself in our church sanctuary, where I just knelt down broken on the front pew and just said, God, you take this. If anything good is going to happen because of this place, it's going to be because of you and not because of me. And if it utterly fails, it's on you because I can't carry this weight. And God's like, yes, you finally figured it out. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. And guess what? I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I'm lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what? You're probably feeling some kind of a way in your heart this morning because you've taken a lot on yourself and feel like you have to do it all alone, by yourself, carry the weight, and that if you don't do it, nobody else will. Well, I'm here to tell you that God knows what's happening in your heart. You're not alone. He is there with you. So God's got this. He's got my heart. What else has he got? He's got my back. All right, let me hear you this morning. Say, God's got my back. Somebody put that in the chat, all right? God's got my back. What do I mean by that? Well, let's read the next few verses. Verse 9, David says this. Then my enemies will turn back in the day that I call. This I know. I love this. This I know, that God is for me. All right? My God, David is saying, who has called me. David's thinking back on the day when Samuel showed up to his house out in the countryside, to the house of Jesse, and he called all the brothers and he said, hey, none of these guys are going to be the next king. Do you have any more sons? And like, yeah, it's just David out in the field tending the sheep. You don't want to see him. Go get him. And David comes in from the field going, well, what's going on? Hey, Samuel's here. The prophet to Israel is here. Yeah. He's got something to say to you. Wow, and then he anoints his head with oil. And David maybe in that moment is thinking back to where that oil is dripping down his face and he's been anointed. And here he hears the words that I have a calling on your life. You are going to be the next king of Israel. Which is good to know in the situation when you get into it, that sometimes it's easy for you and I to doubt who God has called us to be when we go through a trial, when we go through something tough. But it's really good to have a very clear remembrance of what God has called you to, either your salvation that he's called you to or a calling on your life that he's called you to. And David in that moment, I believe, is remembering that. And he's like, hey, this I know, that God is for me. What he's not saying is this, is like, I've come up with my own thing. I'm being selfish. I'm being sinful. I want to do me. And God is in support of that. God's got my back. That's not what the Bible is saying here. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8 where DJ left off. Romans chapter 8 verse 28 says this, and we know for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. We know that all things work together for good to those who have been called by God, who are living on purpose for him, not for them. So don't do your thing and then expect God to bless it or back you up on it. Instead, you do God's thing and then you will be unstoppable. Why? Because God's got your back. Not so that you can succeed, but so that his purposes can succeed for his glory. Man, let me tell you, that is good to know that God's got your back. If he's called you to something, you know it's going to work out. Still in Romans chapter 8 says this, What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, anybody know the rest? I can't hear you. Who can be against us? If God is for you and what he's called you to, then who in the world could stop you? Nobody. Nobody can stop God's plans. And sometimes you might be in a situation where it seems like God is out of control and his plan's not going to work out. Wrong. That's not going to happen. Because God, if God has said it's going to be, it is going to be. His sovereign plan will work out. And if you are lined up in that, God's got your back. His purposes will be fulfilled. And that is a great place to be. He goes on to say, no, in all these things, guess what? We are more than conquerors through him who loved us, Jesus. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor present things, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth. That's a good verse to memorize, by the way. Nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Don't you question God. Don't you question his calling on your life. Don't you question his timing either. And don't you question his methods, because God's got your back for his purposes, for his glory. His plan will come about, and you can be assured that if you're walking in God's will for your life, he is working things out. He's got your back. Even though David sees his enemies and he seems way outnumbered, and he is, he can realize that God's got his back. And then he says this, I call out to the Lord, right? And that is what you and I need to do, because sometimes we get it all messed up. We get scared. We get nervous. We don't know what's happening. And what do? Call out to God? Nah. You terrible people. You know what you do? I'm going to Google it. What should I do? Hey, I'm going to phone a friend. Somebody else tell me what I should do. Man, we'll call 100 different people, search 100 different ways to figure out, instead of just picking up the phone and calling God and going, what is it? Can I get an amen? God's got my back. I don't need the approval of man. I don't need to check with everybody else to see what's right. I need to check with God. I need to remember my calling. I need to go to his word and realize if I'm doing what he's called me to do, then I'm good to go. So God's got my heart. God's got my back. What else has he got? I hope he's got this. God's got my praise. Everybody say, God's got my praise. Yeah, God has got my praise. And you might say, Pastor, you are crazy, because right now I do not feel like praising God at all. Have you ever felt like that? Anybody, can I get a hand raise? Can somebody put that in the chat out there? There have been times where I have not felt like praising God, and I didn't do it. God forgive me. Got all that? Put all that in the chat right there, all right? There have been times where we don't feel like praising God. David is in that situation right now. He's hiding out. They are searching for his life. They want to take him out. That's usually not when you have a worship session, right? Hey, I'm about to die. Praise the Lord. But David remembers that God has a calling on his life, that he's got his heart. He knows what's happening internally. God's got his back, that even though it looks bleak, it's going to work out, because God's plans, how many times have they failed? Zero. God's plans have never failed, and they never will. So, God should have our praise. Let's read verses 10 and 11. In God, whose word I praise. In the Lord, whose word I praise. This is a chorus that we've heard a couple of times in here, right? And sometimes I've heard people say, well, I don't like this song because it repeats itself a little bit. So I'm like, hey, you know what? Read the Psalms. The poet, you know what he does? He repeats himself. You know why? Because you and I, we need to hear repetition. God's got my praise. God's got my praise. God's got my praise. Well, praise the Lord. I need to say that 100 times a day. So don't knock a song that repeats itself a little bit until you read the Psalms, the songs of the Bible, and realize, hey, David does that all the time, because he realizes hearing something one time just ain't enough sometimes. So in God, whose word I praise, no matter if I'm hiding in a cave, in the Lord, whose word I praise, no matter if I'm on the run, no matter what your situation, you might say, well, Lord, Pastor, it just seems like a sacrifice right now to praise. Yeah, you and I, we shouldn't have to praise God in times of sacrifice, should we? Let's go to Hebrews 13. How about that? So Jesus also suffered outside the gate, verse 12, in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach that he endured. So Jesus was sent outside of the camp as a sacrificial lamb, the scapegoat, and he took the sins, he bore the sins that you and I had committed. And so what the writer here is instructing us to do is that we should bear our cross, that we should go outside of the camp and endure the same thing that he endured. That if people hated him, of course they're going to hate us, so on and so forth. So verse 14, for here on earth, we have no lasting city. We have no lasting country. We have no lasting nation. Nothing is lasting here in this temporary place that we live. But instead, we got our eyes set on a different kingdom, right? But we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up, here it is, a sacrifice of praise to God. All right, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. Even when you and I don't feel like it, even when we don't want to, even when we feel like, humanly speaking, it does not make sense to praise, that's probably the time that you and I need to praise God the most. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Hey, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name, that is what David is doing when he writes, in God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? I can praise God when I'm hurting, when I'm sad, when I'm mad, when I'm scared. No matter what your situation is, God's got this. He's got your heart. He knows what's happening. All right? He's got your back. If you're living the life he's called you to live, he's going to make sure that his purposes are fulfilled, and he's got your praise. Give him the praise of your lips, your mouth, your tongue. The Bible says that's what's in your heart is going to come out of there. Make sure that's what's happening in your heart is actually good, praising, worshiping, giving it to God, because what will happen naturally is it'll come out of your mouth. If bad stuff's coming out your mouth, what you need to do is not get some duct tape and fix that, right? What you need to do is work on what's on the inside, because that's the red light. That's the gauge on the dashboard, right? When you shoot something out of your mouth and you're like, oh, DJ does that all the time. Oh, just kidding. I would never say that on the internet, DJ. Don't worry about that. What we got to do then is go, Lord, I need a heart check. Search my heart, oh God. See if there's any wicked way in me. Make sure that my fears haven't taken over. Make sure that my fears haven't set up shop and moved in. They're hanging out, wearing pajamas, taking over my place, taking over my life. But instead, let's kick them out. All right, they ain't paying rent here. Get them out of here and let God reign on the throne of your heart. He is the king, not your fears, not your worry. He's got the whole situation. Somebody said this morning, he's got the whole world in his hands. Am I right? Let's sing it right now. I'm just kidding. So God's got this. Let me hear it one more time. God's got this. God has got this. God has got you. You do not need to fear. You do not need to worry. Give it to God, right? Give him your heart. Give him control of your situation. Give him your praise. He is worthy of it this morning, even if you don't feel like it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you know who we are. Lord, that your purposes will be fulfilled, that we can be confident in what you've called us to. And Lord, even when we don't feel like it, God, make us a church, make us a people who praise you all the time, who repeat the same words over and over. God's got this. God's got this. In God I trust. What shall man do to me? In God, the God whose word I praise, in the Lord, Yahweh God, whose word I praise. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? We know he can do nothing. We pray this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen.